Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello. I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted you could join us this afternoon for our webinar titled Print MIS, Managing Your Business and Increasing Efficiency. Management information systems are really the keystone of successful printing operations. Senior management relies on these programs to evaluate overall company performance, or production employees use the systems to communicate job data from virtually all departments as well as customers. Today, I've got two what I consider to be experts in the field joining me. And what we'll be doing is we'll be sharing critical requirements for successful implementation of MIS. We'll talk about how to enable unprecedented process automation, not only for internal manufacturing, but for external efforts, including web-to-print using JDF connectivity. We're going to talk about the benefits of MIS implementation, things like single entry, centralized data management, consistency, reduction in the number of errors, and transparent planning. And what you'll hear are recommendations from Dave Zamorski, Chief Operating Officer at Associates International, and Joe Farage, the owner of Buffalo Printing. Before we get started, what I would like to do is just cover a couple of tips for successfully enjoying the webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, all you need to do is let us know by using the Ask a Question box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the Help button below. Make sure that you've disabled pop-up blockers. You can get a PDF of this presentation by clicking on the Download Slides button. If you like what you're hearing or you're seeing, you can tell peers by using the Invite a Colleague button, or you can let us know by clicking the Survey button and sending your feedback. We'll be taking questions throughout the webinar, and I'll be monitoring the questions coming in. So submit them as you feel appropriate, and I'll ask the speakers the questions real time. All you have to do is use the Ask a Question box, and you can view this event on demand for the next 90 days. I want to spend just a minute up front talking about processes that work. And then what you'll hear is from Dave Zamorski about MIS at AGI, and then you'll hear from Joe Farage about the importance of good MIS for your business, and he'll share with you what he's done at Buffalo Printing Company. And we'll wrap up with a few recommendations and conclusions. When we talk about processes that work, one of the things that I think you've got to look at in 2011 is both efficiency and effectiveness. When I talk about digital effectiveness, it's really doing the right thing, and that says that you've got the right activities and you're applying the best strategies to gain a competitive advantage. Today, what we're going to focus on is digital efficiency, and that's really doing the thing right. And this defines the processes that are completed using the fewest resources and the shortest possible amount of time. One of the things that we see in today's market is that printers are struggling to reconcile two critical needs that are, by the way, equally important to their long-term prosperity. They need to offer customers continually improving and innovative services, but in parallel, they need to increase the efficiencies of the underlying manufacturing operations. Well, we see rapid adoption of value-added services, the question is, at what price? And printers really need to think about retooling and reengineering their MIS and manufacturing operations. What you'll hear about is the great management practices that AI and Buffalo Printing have put in place to facilitate small lot size production with maximum profitability. And so when we think about MIS and workflow and why now, it's really, first of all, increased efficiency. It enables graphic communication service providers to optimize their current capital and labor resources. It helps aid innovation. Automation and good MIS opens the opportunity to produce new products cost-effectively in very short runs. Cost, and it's not just the cost of labor. It's inventory, training, quality control that all need to be considered. As you look at automating existing production facilities, what that says is I can produce more with less. Good MIS and workflow tools give you control. It says that I've got the ability to control both my operation as well as provide a window for customers into my facility. quality. Quality is key for any operation. And it says that I can consistently manufacture with the absolute highest quality products. And finally, and last but not least, to the extent that I understand and have control of my environment, I've got long-term viability. And so before I turn over to Dave, I want to share with you one of my favorite quotes, and it's from Deming, and it says, you know, a bad system will beat a good person every time. And what we've seen and what we hear from our panelists is that they've got good systems in place. And, again, keep the questions coming in. And with that, I am going to turn it over to Dave Zamorski. Dave, take it away.
Great. Hi, everyone. I'm Dave Zamorski. I'm the COO of Associates International. We're a conventional and digital shop, hybrid as they call it out there, and about 50% of our sales is digital versus the conventional, so we're about split equally there. Who we are and what we do, we've made a transition from a PSP to a MSP. That's a print service provider to a marketing service provider, but the core of our business is still the turning of the cylinders and getting work out and supplying print to our customers. A good portion now is coming through the marketing efficiencies, but a lot of it is going into we still need to turn cylinders and do that very efficiently. So the slide, I lost my next button. There we go. So who we are is Associates. We have three different departments that we actually work at, and that's Associates Marketing Group, Associates Data Group, and Associates Graphic Services. The Graphic Service Department is the one that does all the print. That's where that's coming out of the web fulfillment and web-to-print services. And that's where the MIS, we really started looking at where an MIS would fit with that. We were kind of unique. We had an MIS system in place, and we replaced it with another system. Our capabilities are not that unlike a lot of the companies that are out there. We offer integrated marketing campaigns, a personalized URL. One of the big things we're going to talk about today is the custom storefronts, the web enterprise solutions, and all the other services that we have there. This thing's working a little bit slow. The verticals we mainly handle are the pharmaceuticals, financial markets, manufacturers, and associations. We do a tremendous amount with the pharmaceuticals. We have a tremendous amount of storefronts running with them, web-to-print sites, and web services with them, as well as with the financial markets. Just to give you a little recap of where we've come from, in 2006, we only had one part-time marketing person. We didn't have any people in IT. We had one storefront with a client running. Happy to say that that's been running for over 13 years now. We had 84 employees, three shifts, and a lot of touches to do a job. In January of this year, 20% of our staff is marketing, IT, and database. We have 28 storefronts running and 54 employees. And as you can see, our productivity increased 78% and our increase in revenue of 28%. And so that means our sales per employee have almost doubled.
Hey, Dave, I have a question, and it came in, what people are looking for is a bit of a definition. And so when you talk about MIS, how do you differentiate MIS and ERP systems?
Well, the MIS is mainly a information systems going throughout. That's your order entry. That's your estimating. That's all your services that you're doing, I would say, are more customer-facing. What I'm looking at with the ERP is more of an enterprise system, and that's a lot of that is internal facing and trying to get better results internally. And what I mean by internal and external is customer facing means that our MIS has a CRM in it. Our MIS system, when a customer calls, we can find job entry and order entry and estimating right away through the MIS. A lot of stuff we do with the ERP is mainly going out that's facing towards our production levels and trying to have that interface with the MIS system.
Great. Thanks, Dave. That's perfect.
One of the things that we found with this shift from January of 2006 through 2010 was the need to improve our workflows and systems. And we literally tried to create a lights-out production flow. And what I mean by lights out is we literally wanted our digital presses to fire up during the middle of the night with no one in the building and start processing orders that had come through on the storefronts. In 2008, our production workflow, we built that system minus the lights out. So in 2008, 2009, we were handling about 200 line items a day with no human touch on them until they came off the iGens. And the iGens were being manned by operators. The 2010 SIPI award that you're seeing on your screen was awarded to us because we finally did hit the lights out production. And now we're processing orders that come through on the storefronts during the evening. And at 2 a.m., our equipment, our digital presses, fire up on their own and start processing and printing those orders. The key to this was gathering the data cost and all the information from each one of those jobs. And in, I guess, conjunction with our own programmers, our RIP programmers, and our MIS system, we were able to take this, and all the job costing from every job, even though there's no one touching it, is going back into the MIS, which gives us very, very accurate data. The workflows that we have here are basically, you can see on the left-hand side is the web portal where a customer can come in, and if it goes digital, it goes towards the top of this workflow. It goes through a process manager, which is also at the same time assigning it a job number from our MIS system, which is very important to us as we only then have to have one set of books. A lot of times the web portal entry or coming in through a storefront, that system stands alone and it's not getting fed into the MIS, and we wanted everything into the MIS, which then feeds into the CRM.
Hey, Dave, a question for you, and let's start with the web portal tools. What are you using today to create or develop your web portals? Are they custom developed, or are you using a set of software tools that are generally available in the market?
We use a software tool that was available that was when we built this, we built it as like a trunk. So we used the software that was available to go out and purchase, which we did. Do you want the manufacturer?
Yeah, if that's all right.
Actually, we're using PageFlex.
Okay.
And we're using that as the trunk, and then we've done a lot of customization and custom extensions off of that. None of our storefronts do not have – all of our storefronts have customization to them. I would say out of the 28, they're all customized to some extent. But we take that, and we worked it with – a system that we've built into the background that's taking smart folders and allowing for the lights out.
Great. So,
but those orders are coming through that what I'm calling process manager, and then it goes into the RIPs over to our finishing equipment. And it's completely lights out. We have four touches to do, say, at trifolds coming through the shop, and we'll run 40 or 50 of those in a batch run.
Now, Dave, could you give an example of the types of work that's coming through on the portal and the kinds of applications you're supporting so people get a feel for what kinds of things are coming through the shop in this lights out production? Is it brochures? Is it just to get a bit of a feel for what kind of work you're actually selling?
Sure. Majority of what we're doing with the storefronts is some kind of sales collateral for the customers. And one of them we have in one of the pharmaceuticals, we have seven different storefronts running inside a one pharmaceutical company. And that handles just a wide variety of everything. But one of the big things is they have 6,500 sales reps. And if they need any sales collateral, they order it from us. And they can customize it for their doctors or physicians or the physician care units. And they can go through there. We're maintaining databases of 1.5 million doctors for some of these people. And we have another site with a pharmaceutical storefront that actually they can order their drug samples and stuff from us. And so it's a whole different variety of things we're doing with the storefronts. But I would say 80% of it is probably some kind of sales collateral from little pop-up tents, brochures, and, of course, we do all the business cards and that kind of stuff.
Now, one other question. It probably was a bit confusing, but PageFlex you're using for the portals, and then somebody asked, what are you using then for the actual MIS system? What tool?
The actual MIS we're using is Avanti.
Okay.
And the reason we went to that MIS is there was only three or four, 2.5 years ago, that actually had that were JDF compliant and certified. And that was a big deal for us. And so we chose Avanti because of a lot of their JDF capabilities.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
And it's really helped us in our workflow to achieve the lights out. So one of the things, the implementation of the MIS, the elements of it, if you can see, we have a lot of your key elements, the litho estimating, which is mainly for conventional printing. We actually have, like we do with everything, kind of messed around with it a little bit. We're actually doing our digital estimating now out of the litho estimating. So they actually have a module for digital, but we don't use it. We put everything into the litho. That way we have one source. But the job costs and tracking, inventory management, fulfillment, all the way through the CRM, the executive dashboard, and the web-to-print functionality. The executive dashboard is a nice little feature that allows me, when I come in the morning, turn on my laptop here, and I can see the five reports that I want to see in one location. It's already up on my screen, and so I can review all the reports from the night before or the day before, and they have the web-to-print functionality. So we installed Avanti in 2008. Is when we actually put that in. So we built the workflow, had the workflow operating, looked at the MIS we had at that time, could not do any kind of good connectivity with it. It was a very closed system, and that's when we started reviewing and looking at MIS systems. So it was around, I think, in the October-November era that we actually implemented the Avanti MIS system. The components of the MIS with the biggest impact. One of the things that we strive for here, we do continuous improvement process continually here. It's kind of a redundant statement. But we also do lean manufacturing. We do a lot of value stream mapping out of that, and we try to find the areas that need the biggest bang and the most help. And what we did with the estimating, we started looking at that area of the company from a simple standpoint of I had 2.5 estimators doing this amount of estimates, and there were 6 to 8 touches per estimate. And if you start multiplying that out about times how many estimates you're doing a day times number of business days a month, it's a lot of time, a lot of touches, all for something that I'm only going to get 10 to 15% of on a good day. So we started looking at that and how do we streamline that. And what we started doing was trying to figure out with the MIS, how do we build that out. With our MIS, we've been able to take 10 or 12 products, which probably make up about 80% of our sales estimates that we're going out. We consider a 8.5 by 11, say, as a product. Whether it's going to be a trifold, a bifold, a flat sheet, it all prints the same, so we consider that a product. And it's allowed us to have our salesmen actually go in and do their own estimates. So in the time in the past that they would take to fill out a form, give that to the estimator, now they can do their own estimate, and it actually goes right out to that customer. So it's the turnaround time in a backlog is literally down to about 1 to 12 hours at the latest, but it's usually 1 to 2 hours. And we're doing about 800 estimates a month still, even though a good majority of our business is coming over web to print where they can get an estimate online.
Steve, what's a salesman's reaction, or salesperson's, I should say, reaction to doing their own estimates? Do they like it?
At first, they looked at it as, hey, just something else that they're making us do. Once they saw that they could actually not have to fill out this form, and then that form sit in a bin waiting for estimating to get to it, and they saw the speed that they could fill this out and do it online, they only have to answer 4 questions, and it's basically the, ink colors, the fold that goes with it, the quantity, and the paper, and they're off and running. If there's exceptions to that as far as, shrink wrapping and stuff, they can check a box, and, it'll add that in there as well. So at first there was a little fight back, but honestly it's been a wonderful thing for majority of them because they're able to respond to the customer that much quicker and get that estimate out.
One of the things we also discovered, it was a past session that we did, Dave, which is I think kind of interesting, is the faster you get a quote to the customer, the faster you get business in the door.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I don't know how many times in the past before this that they'd be waiting on the estimate only to get the estimate, and the customer just wanted it off their desk and they'd already given it to somebody else.
Yeah.
So our main thing is to get it back to them fast. Our web portals offer pricing as well, but for customers that don't have that or a little bit more complex jobs, it's really sped up the process. From a business side, from a paying the bill side, we went from 2.5 estimators down to 1 full-time estimator, and the other estimators we've redeployed into other positions. So, but it's really sped up that process all the way around. And the estimates the estimator has to get involved with now, he can spend time on because they're more complex and make sure they're accurate.
Yep.
But it eliminated a lot of bottlenecks that were in our shop and allowed us to get more work quicker. The integration of the MIS with the accounting system, I don't think people realize how many days jobs sit after they're produced. And we were no different than anybody else. Sometimes they were sitting 7 to 10 days. By the time the job jacket made its way back to the production manager, who was going to check this, who was going to check that, then it made it to accounting and bookkeeping and different areas. So what we did was we looked at that as a true bottleneck, too, because, as you know, Barb, we want the jobs in quicker, but we want to get paid just as fast. So what we did was we took that and connected that in our MIS system. We changed out our accounting procedures in our accounting system, which was really kind of flawless and very easy to do. And it's allowed us now to get jobs, and we're billing most jobs within hours of completion and shipment of that job. And that's just through the tracking system that's available on the MIS. And that's been great for us. If I'm giving a customer another 7 to 10 days and he's paying me in 60 anyway, it's a long time out. So if I can get that bill to him faster, that's the way to go. So, and then the integration with the storefronts, the MIS systems, and print production, really the JDF framework has allowed us to automatically capture all the time and materials for the jobs run on the presses. It's been a key component with our workflows and with our digital presses to allow us to actually do lights out. So that right now, as I stated, at 2 a.m., our digital presses can fire up and start running. And they're running jobs that are coming in, but they're all running jobs that are getting captured in the MIS, which is a very, very important feature for us. How to get started. Our process of selection for MIS was based off our continuous improvement process. As I said, we do lean manufacturing. We do a lot of 5S. We do a lot of different things in the company just to remain very efficient and make sure we know where our weaknesses are. And one of the big things I'll tell you that we wanted to do was we not only looked at this from an internal standpoint, but we also looked at this from a customer-facing objectives. The 2 SIPPY awards that we won, the proudest part of that to me was that they're for customer responsiveness. And so when we build these systems and we looked at the MISs and we looked at all the workflows we did, one of the key components was customer facing. How do we make life easier for our customers and how can we go sell that to our customers? Hey, we've put this in. How do we do that? We had one pharmaceutical that was nice enough to do a case study with us that estimated we saved them over $500,000 a year in internal cost with our systems. You don't get any stronger backing than that. So that was our main thing of how do we make our customers' life easier. So how we started doing it was we did value stream mapping, which is just a topic on its own that I do a lot on. And then what we did, we determined the areas that needed to be eliminated or improved, all the non-value-add touches. You can't sell non-value-add. You can only sell value-add. So, and that's where we created the steps. the requirements for successful. What we do is you have to have a team approach to this thing. You have to have the key roles very much defined, and that has to happen prior to implementation. You don't want to do that during the middle of the implementation. We had a three-person implementation team for this. It's not saying that's all they did the whole time it was being implemented, but they were the key on that, that we have champions on our software, and one of those from that team has become the champion on this product and probably knows this product as well as the manufacturer knows this product. It's a very good thing. Establish milestones for the installation and training, and those have to be hit and adhered to, and people have to know what those milestones are. And then designating one primary contact. You don't want to have 30 people calling and trying to get problems fixed because nobody knows who's calling. You end up with a million different job tickets opened up, and so you want to have this funneled through one person as much as possible. The biggest challenges, change, and I'll say that, is nowhere in the dictionary is change defined as a bad thing. But most employees, most people in life, all of us at some point don't like change. We like the things the way they are. We know how they are. We know what they are. So that's where you have to know that there's going to be change and there's going to be some resistance. Honestly, we didn't hit a lot of resistance, but it was very close at times where people were going, this is better than that. We ran co-systems for almost 2 months as we tested this product, and finally I just made a decision that this is the cutoff, that system's going dark at such and such a date, and everybody was all worried about when we went. We had done our homework, done our things, and we never looked back. But the change thing is huge. Data. Ensure that your old data and habits are accurate, up to date, and needed. If you're going from one MIS to another, don't assume that all the data that's in your MIS is accurate. Go out and do new time studies on the make readies. Go out and do time studies on how long it takes to open a job so you have accurate information going into the MIS system. Because a lot of times if you're just transferring, all you're doing is taking bad data and putting it into a new system. Training, I would say, is one of the keys. You need to implement a training pattern immediately, and you need to stay on that training to keep people involved in it. And we do that quite effectively here, and that's due to the person that took over as a champion on this product. She's very good at making sure people are trained when the new versions come out, what are the changes in that, and working with the people that utilize the product every day and making sure that those changes are done. The return on investment, and what I have here is the ROI from the MIS was a single digit. And what I mean by that is in months. The return on this investment, which was not small, it's a six-figure investment, but that investment with me being able to reduce the number of people and the number of touches throughout my shop made that return. The payback was in very few months compared to where things in the past, in 2007, 2006, I used to accept 24-month ROIs. I can tell you in these economies, I'm really looking at single-digit ROI, so I was very happy with the return on investment that the system gave us from being able to do more with less. Turnaround time on quotes, like I said, went from 24 to 36 hours. I would venture to say where it says 4 to 12, it's probably an hour, hour and a half to 2 hours for a lot of the estimates if the salesman's inside. If he's not inside, the 4 to 12 is probably accurate. But they can do these from their house as well. Order entry time improved by over 34%. That means we're able to get more jobs into the system accurately, on time, and allow for other work to come in. So there's no backlog just trying to get jobs in. And it enabled the lights out automation. And I can't tell you how important that was to our system and to our workflows. So the last thing I want to say is this is my little spiel I do, and this is the succeeding winning in digital print today requires a new look at both the products your customers offer and the margins they can achieve. This saying I have on here is very straightforward, and it means a lot to us. With that, I'm going to pass it back to Barb and Joe.
Well, I've got a couple quick questions before we turn over to Joe.
Sure.
You said you were using, and I want to make sure, clear, PageFlex as your portal system.
Right.
You're using Avanti as your MIS system.
Right.
Do you have a different accounting? What accounting system are you using?
Great Plains.
Okay. And then how complicated was it on the integration of those tool sets?
There was some complication to the integration of those pieces because we were the first on a lot of them. So it'll be easier for everybody else. We were the first integration with between Avanti and PageFlex and a couple other systems. But honestly, it's been fairly well. The changeover in accounting was a little bit difficult. It's just because we went from a very antiquated accounting system to a very robust. It's, you know, Great Plains speaks for itself. It's a great system. So it was a little bit more robust and a little bit more of a challenge. But the actual integration was good.
And I've got two other real quick questions. And the first one is, in your perspective, is there a gross dollar amount per year a company should be producing before they begin an MIS process?
I don't think there's a dollar amount. And the reason I'm saying that is I think even if you're a smaller shop, the modularity that's offered anymore from the MIS systems is phenomenal, and you can buy just a few modules to get started, and I think that's really what is needed out there, because once you start with the MIS, that system can then, you can grow with that system as your sales grow. So I think just the order entry and just some of the few small pieces to get going, it's inexpensive, but the return on it's very, very quick and good.
Okay. Well, Dave, thanks. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn over to Joe Farage. And Joe it runs Buffalo Printing Company. And Joe, take it away, and I think you'll see a little different perspective in terms of the business and what the requirements were and how Joe got started. So, Joe, there you go.
Hello, everybody. I hope that you can learn from our experience. We are working with our second complete workflow system, MIS or ERP, from start to finish, going everything, starting at the estimate and going right through to the invoicing. And the reason we're on our second one is because no one shared with me what I'm going to share with you today. So I hope to leave you with 12 take-homes that you can apply either in whole or in part to your business, depending on where you are, like Dave was just saying, in purchasing modules or a complete workflow system for your business. Like Barb said, my name is Joe Farage. I'm the owner of Buffalo Printing Company. I've been in the business for 35 years. I left, quit, and got fired. It was a family business for my father. And 5.5 years ago, I came back to the family business, bought the business, and my dad is now a snowbird going back and forth from Buffalo to Florida. I'll share my experience with you where we were when we started. This is where we were. It's kind of just a quick graphic on what happened. I knew when I first bought the business, we couldn't get orders into production fast enough. Our order entry was a bottleneck, and we were handwriting everything. We had a 6-part carbonless form that we were filling out. The last part went as a delivery receipt. The first 2 parts went to accounting to get matched up with the middle parts afterwards. It was nothing but filing cabinets and stacks of paper everywhere. And so our immediate needs were that we wanted to solve the order entry problem, and then also our accounting problem. Accounting took 2 weeks for us to get invoices out. By the time we put all the 6 parts of invoices back together again, and then we're able to mail that out for an invoice. So what happened was we were much more streamlined, where our order entry process was very fast. Our accounting process now was getting, we were sending invoices out in a matter of a couple of days. But now it exposed some other inefficiencies in our workflow that we didn't have before. Before, we weren't able to gang up any setups in our production. Now there were tons of orders coming in that they could plan better, but our planning in digital now was exposed that we had some issues there. A lot of orders were getting stalled and cutting, and if there was any bindery operations. So we were quick to get it in, slowed down in production, and then we were quick to get it out. And we're feeling pretty confident today in our workflow that we've got a pretty straightforward plan for all the work going through, whether it requires bindery or cutting. It doesn't really matter. But from our experience, we're smart enough to realize that we just haven't found or exposed the next area for improvement. So while today we're feeling confident, we are still looking for an area that we can improve on. One of the things I want to point out is the first immediate need I mentioned was our order entry. We were entering everything by hand, handwriting every single order. At this point now, we have three ways of entering orders into our system. When it comes in from an estimate, we can enter the order manually and still key it in on this into our system. Our customers are going online through their own personal branded websites, and they're keying in the orders themselves, proofing in their variable data changes that they want on any of their forms that are loaded, and then placing the order. We have one particular customer that is giving us a spreadsheet twice a week with 200 to 500 line items on it that they want to order. That spreadsheet is being converted to an XML and then processing right through our software that it goes right to the machines. And that before, I had two CSRs that would take 3 days to process those orders. Now it's a matter of 3 hours. The work orders are printed and the files are at the front ends on all of our digital presses ready to print. So we've got a lot more time for production now as a result of the software change. That brings us to the next slide. See, the question, you know, isn't if you need to have an automated workflow start to finish. It's a question of how and how quickly can you make it happen. Dave made a good point. You're going to be able to buy different modules to get started, pick the areas that you see as the greatest need that you want to improve, but you don't have to buy a start-to-finish system all up front. We broke it down into two areas. The last part of our system that we bought was our shipping and receiving component. Everything else we did all up front in the beginning. But everything they're saying about an automated workflow is true. While I don't want to read the slides to you, this one is worth going over line by line because it justifies the expense. I agree with Dave. It is an expensive venture, especially for a company our size. You know, we're a smaller commercial printer, and this was an investment. One of you had a question about how much work do you have to justify at MIS. When I bought the business from my father, we did $600,000 a year in sales. And at this point, 5.5 years later, we're doing 1.5 in sales. And I couldn't handle that if I didn't have an MIS system, some way of getting an automated workflow through. So we had 6 employees before. They were doing $100,000 each before. Now we have 12 employees, and each one's accountable for $125,000 and growing. Before, when we had 6 employees, we couldn't handle any more work because we couldn't get it into the system fast enough by handwriting all the work. $100,000 per employee was max. There was no room for growth. Now, even with 12 employees, you know, we can easily be a $2.5 million company and not add any employees or equipment. We have that potential in our shop now before we have to buy equipment or add employees. It does improve quality. For us, our files were going to our digital presses, any one of 4 computers. It could have been a Mac or a PC. It wasn't being ripped consistently. Our workflow made that a standard as all the files were being ripped consistently out to our fireys. We have fiery front ends. Our production is much better. We can gang run. We can plan our production better, much more profitable. We have increased customer loyalty. Our customers are going online to their own branded website. It's time savings. I talked about how our customer service people would take 3 days to enter those 200 to 500 line items in a spreadsheet. Now it's taking 3 hours. Repeat orders, even if they have to be done online, or our customers, our CSRs, are doing it. It's very easy to do. Our electronic prepress person was working. You know, we had 2 people in there. They were working 80 hours a week, and now we're down to 1 person that's doing 25 hours a week because our customer service rep is able to do a lot of what was happening there. By eliminating touches, like Dave already said, we're just adding to the bottom line, and we have increased sales opportunities. Again, about the business from my father. It was a smaller local print shop, and now we've become we have customers across the United States. We're a national printer. There are two franchises in town. One is the number one growing franchise in the U.S., and we are their national printer. So here's the first take home. An automated workflow will make you a lot of money if you fully consider the impact of all of your costs. And this is something that there's two points on this slide I want to highlight for you. One is, if you, those of you that have order entry systems now, take a look and ask your CSRs, how much time are they spending plugging the system, putting in different line items or entries by hand and putting prices in there? If that's happening, there is extra time that's being spent on every order every day because the system wasn't implemented properly. If you can go back and all the things that are being plugged in or entered by hand and make them an automated process, you're going to get much more production out of your CSRs. This is probably one of the reasons why a lot of printers have different modules and they're not using them to the fullest extent because they don't take the time to set them up properly in the beginning. That is a necessity that you have to consider when you get into an MIS system. You have to dedicate somebody. Dave said he had a three-person team. In our shop, we had a one-and-a-half-person team, and they did other things while they were setting this up. But they were dedicated to that for three, four months before we could even use the system live internally, not opening it up to our customers. We took the time to make sure that we did it right. That is critical to make sure that you get the most for the investment that you're putting into this.
Hey, Joe, we had a question, and I know you're using the Avanti software also. What accounting system do you have in place?
Avanti, we use QuickBooks, and Avanti integrates right to it automatically through an IAF
file. Perfect. Great. Thanks, Joe.
Yes. Another question is, who's going to maintain it? If you are a shop our size, there's pros and cons to having an internal or an external IT person. For us, we really found the needle in the haystack. Our IT person also has a lot of graphics experience. He worked for a printer previously, and so he was able to come on with us, be our IT person, so that we didn't have, you know, any downtime if we had an IT issue. But in the times when he was working on a special project, you know, could then help out in our electronic prepress doing design or some technical work. But that's going to be a serious position. We never had an IT person before. Now we couldn't live without somebody. You have to decide who you are. A lot of times when somebody, when companies go into an MIS, they start to change, you know, who they are and what their workload is. You know, for us, we had to take a look at what equipment we had. We took a look at the training of our employees, and we had to make a decision on what is the quality that we can produce? What is the quality that our customers can produce, our equipment can produce? And then based on that and answering those questions honestly, then we went out and found customers that fit that. Everybody wants quality, no doubt about it. We sell quality. The question is, what customers expect what quality? One of the ways, you know, that we eliminate this whole, you know, color issue, color management issue, is we look for customers, and there's a lot of them out there, that are not color-critical customers. And that's how we solve our color management problems. Color management is an issue, and I think with the digital future that's ahead of us, it's going to continue to be an issue. But I think people are going to, the same way they change their quality standard for ink on paper, I think, it's just my opinion, I think that they're going to change their color critical, how tight they are on those registrations when we start to change to digital, because whether they're looking at their previously printed material on their computer, on their TV or on their smartphone, each one of them is going to handle color a different way. They're going to find other ways to create their brand. You have to buy software that's going to match your current and future software and equipment needs. This is one of the things that was very critical for us. We had one server when we started this process. Now we have four, and we almost had to buy a fifth. And our two primary software companies that we're using have a partnership in place that they do work together. And that is critical because When companies have 4 and 5 different pieces of software, if the software manufacturers are not going to be open to each other, and I expect they wouldn't because they're sharing trade secrets, then the systems by nature are not going to coordinate with each other very well. At that point, you've got to hire someone that knows code and can write some bridge work that's going to make the two pieces of software talk to each other. For us, you know, we're using Avanti software, as Barb said, and it integrates with Xerox Process Manager, and that is a powerful tool that when our jobs are going through, ripping through our software, automatically Process Manager is doing all of our imposition, and it's deciding which machine it's going to go to process the work. It'll decide black and white or color, and we can send all of our label work to one machine. We can send our color critical work to another machine. Process Manager is making all those decisions for us. Before you get automated, before you were automated, all of your pre-automated workflow data, how are you going to integrate that into your new software? The issue there is we used to do a lot of work and impose it manually. All of that data, now those are all going to be reordered. The question for us was how are we going to make that work with our new software where the imposition is handling automatically? Another thing we had to consider is to continually invest in our employees. This is something that Dave touched on as well, that you have to train your people continually. There are going to be precedent-setting decisions that you're going to be making, and you have to make sure you're making the right decisions so there's less confusion in your shop. CSRs have to have real-time communication. We had one company send us in the morning an order that they were changing one of their data files. A few hours later, that same company called and talked to another one of our CSRs and asked them to process an order. Our two CSRs, thank God, caught it that they were talking about the same order, and we couldn't process the live job until the changes were made from the previous phone call. That exposed a hole in our system that we had to make sure that our CSRs are communicating in real time about files for each of our customers. So you're going to have to make sure your CSRs are in constant communication. You're going to have to look at job descriptions, the people that you currently have. Are they willing to change? Dave talked about this as well. The only thing that remains constant is change. We no longer are looking for graphic designers to be employed in our operation. We are looking for IT people. We're looking for people who have some graphics experience that can be problem solvers with our software, with our network, with our workflow. That's what it's all about. So you're going to have to take a look at who's working for you, what are their strengths, are they open to change, are they willing to change, and can they learn new things. You must appropriately update jobs in the system. This is something that software will do. The number of orders that are going through our shop, we were doing that manually, where we would take orders, change them, feed them back through to the CSRs, and they would update them. Any production has the authority to change the way orders are entered. And that is only helpful because we can make sure that we're getting the correct price for the job and that we're not making the same repeat mistakes or most efficient ways to get the jobs done. This is an area, shipping and tax, that you must stop and spend some time with. I'm going to move on for the interest of time, but this is something that you must spend some time with your software. How will your software handle shipping and receiving? This is going to be critical. And come back to the slide and read those points and decide how you're going to handle it with your software. This is an area that will be a serious issue for you if you don't consider it up front. Take a look at how your software handles shipping and tax, especially when you're going into other states. We really enjoyed being the early bird. For a company our size to have a complete workflow, that was great and put us ahead of of our competition. But when software updates are coming through, we like to be the second mouse. We like to have the software, you know, make sure there's all the kinks are worked out. It doesn't matter what software you're using. Everybody, when it first comes out, there's going to be some issues and hiccups. We like to relax a little bit, let that come out, and then we put it into our system. One of the nice things about our software is that we have a test system and a live system. And this is something that I would hope that you put in your systems. We can take any updates, upgrades, or version changes, and we're going to be able to put it into our test system. We can make sure that everything plays nice together, and once we're sure that it works, then we can put that same upgrade into our live system, and it eliminates a lot of downtime and a lot less IT headaches for us. You have to make sure that you design for the digital future. You have to make sure that your workflow is going to change for the digital future, that you've got communication with your software provider. How open, how flexible is your software to change for the future? We mentioned already that we are using Avanti. Avanti is the most flexible. The reason we chose it is because it is the most flexible software workflow that you can buy, but yet still be a template format that you can make your own. And the last point is to continually and constantly reevaluate and go back. Make a plan, test it, implement it, and then analyze it, and then start all over again and make sure that your software is doing everything that you want it to.
Joe, I have a couple quick questions for you, and I know you've got a slide coming up on results here, but could you help the audience out? You said you use modules. Can you give a ballpark on what the initial investment cost was to get rolling on the MIS side, given you're a smaller commercial printer?
Both systems that we bought were $100,000 in software, time and labor, and servers and extra equipment. The first one that we bought, we weren't happy with, and it was still at the same cost for the software as the system we are happy with. When all is said and done, it was a $100,000 investment for everything all included, your software, labor, man hours, and any extra servers or equipment that you might need.
Okay. And then the other question I've got is you mentioned that you've got a number of web storefronts. What storefront type software are you using today?
Avanti has an e-commerce module that we're using. And we have 56 people that are using that now. One of the national franchises has 50 locations across the United States. Each location has their own personalized website. And then we have six other companies outside of that that have their own personalized website.
Okay. And then this is a question for both Joe and David. And I'll start with David. David, did you use any kind of external consultant or somebody to evaluate which tool set you used?
No, we did an internal evaluation through the value stream mapping and just our workflows.
Okay. And, Joe, did you use any external resources in terms of the overall evaluation that you did other than past experience of something that didn't work?
No, we became an educated buyer at that point.
You became an educated buyer. Okay. I'll let you wrap up with your last slide here, Joe, and I've got some more questions coming in while you're doing that.
Sure. The end result is the automated workflow, has allowed us to grow significantly from where we were when I bought the business 5.5 years ago, and it's given us a lot of room to grow in the future. We automated our order to ticket process, which was our immediate need. We then had to expose some other inefficiencies. Our software grew with us. It was already taking care of those problems where we could automate the routing of jobs. We have much better inventory management, provisions for more accurate and automated and timely billing. We're getting invoices out now same day or next day, and that was an immediate difference that we saw in our cash flow. Our customer service reps are now really make building relationship and spending time on the phone talking with people, entering orders, and doing all of the upfront work. There's no delays when orders are going into production. We don't have to do as much proofing. There's no delays there, less touches on the job because everybody's looking at it online, and we can pursue new business opportunities. Like I say, we've got a great foundation now with the customers that we do have that we can really launch and grow our sales, you know, for another $1 million in sales before without adding anything. We don't have a wish list this year except for more customers.
That's great. Now, I have a question for both of you, and I think that based on scale, it may be a little different. Let me start with Dave. Dave, how much maintenance is required to keep the system up to date, training, cross-training? Is it somebody's full-time job at your place?
I have an administrator on that product. She's also the champion on it. It's probably three-quarters of her time, someplace between, on any given week, 50 to 75% of her time.
And Joe, how about at your shop? How much time does it take, or how do you have that resource allocated?
We have some special projects that we're working on with my IT guy, but the actual software, maybe a couple hours a week, short of any fires that have to be put out. But again, I think a lot of that reduced time is because we have one piece of software start to finish.
Great. I'm going to just wrap up with a couple key comments, but the one thing I did want to respond to is we've got some questions about whether the webinar will be available. You can download the slides, and it'll be available, by the way, for replay on the Printing Impressions website. I have to tell you, I think, you know, Joe and Dave, you've done a phenomenal job at sharing your perspectives on MIS and workflow. What I think you heard, and if you look at the slides from both Dave and Joe, is it takes leadership. And I think Dave and Joe made a decision, a good business decision, and realized that to be effective and to ensure their long-term survival and profitability, they needed to adjust the way that they were processing work through their plants. I think you also heard it's a continuous journey, and it's a road for continuous improvement. You've got to define and understand the metrics and then focus on the results you want to achieve. It's about the right tools and, by the way, the right culture for change. You've got to have educated employees. And I think the other thing you heard loud and clear was every company is unique, and while you can learn from others, you also need to develop your own path. I thought that I'd wrap up with one final quotation, and it's from Bruce Hamilton, who is the president of the Greater Boston Manufacturing Partnership, and he said, you know, continuous improvement is not about the things you do well. That's work. Continuous improvement is about removing the things that get in the way of your work, the headaches, the things that slow you down. That's what continuous improvement is about. And I think what you heard from Joe and Dave was a path for continuous improvement. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. If we had any questions we missed, we'll get back to you. Thanks again, and have a great rest of the day.